All right, now from out here at the backyard or Blackland Distilling.
All right.
From Blackland Distilling in Crazy Fort Worth, not the backyard. Sorry.
Not even close.
Well, kind of close.
Yeah. But, you know,
if you're going to have a still, you're going to have it in the backyard, probably.
It kind of fits what we're doing over here. And come join us. This is a really, really fun place. Really cool place.
On Weisenberger Street off West 7th.
Yes. Just north of West 7th. But, yeah, come check it out. It's great. But I figured we would throw this around. I know we've never talked about this before, and that is the still. And I imagine that you have more stories stemming from maybe experiences with human beings who had their own still in their yard than we did, maybe an uncle or a cousin or somebody like that. I remember when I was a kid and I was watching my favorite show growing up, and that was Andy Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Griffith, you know, they had small-town problems. And one of the small-town problems that they had was this one local yokel who ran a still illegally. And Andy had to go out there and try to, you know, talk him off the ledge and shut the still down. And it was kind of give-and-take thing. They knew it was going on. As long as they weren't doing anything wildly illegal, then they would let the still go.
Yeah.
But I think there were other things going on, and so they were trying to shut the still down. I remember asking my dad, I'm like, where's Jacob? I remember asking my dad, what is that? What is a still? What does that mean? And he goes, oh, it's where you make moonshine. And I was like,
moonshine?
What is moonshine? And then, you know, he explained to me that this was some sort of homemade elixir, homemade alcohol. And I will never forget what he told me. He goes, never drink it, though. It's terrible. And I was like, you've had it? He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah. My dad grew up in McKinney, which in the, you know, he was born in the 30s, so McKinney, if you can imagine, I mean, you didn't go past Mockingbird Lane north from downtown Dallas in the 50s.
Yeah.
So what must McKinney have been like in the 40s?
Long way away, man.
Yeah.
And probably dry.
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt.
And you had to make your own.
You had to make your own. And so, as I got older, and I'd ask my grandpa about that, and he said that there were tons of people out there in McKinney that had their own still. And I was always fascinated by the concept of it. Since then, people have given me moonshine. And I've had sips of moonshine. And it's not good, man.
Some good, some bad.
I guess I've only had bad because it's literal fire water. You know?
Yeah. I haven't had a whole lot of experience with the still myself. Even though I have a pretty strong rural background in the generation up ahead of me. And even though I do have an uncle that was a known bootlegger, I think for him the activity is just consisted of going into a wet county, buying a whole bunch of booze and taking it back to his dry county and installing a big markup on it to keep all his friends from having to go get it themselves.
Yeah.
I guess an operation of convenience.
He was the Uber Eats of booze back in the day.
Yeah, he was the Uber Eats of booze. But what he was doing was highly illegal, and he would get busted for it every now and then, and he'd go to jail and he'd make one phone call and be out in half an hour.
I'm just fascinated by, you know, and obviously this is a big thing in the South, or maybe the Appalachians and all that, where it's stereotyped, you know, the deliverance type people that run their own still, make their own booze in whatever way. But the alchemy of the fermentation, turning the sugars and fruits and grains and all that into booze.
Into grain alcohol.
Yeah, it seems like the process, like it's way too complex for the hillbilly to do it correctly. Yet the hillbilly is the only one that really does it.
Yeah, the hillbilly probably went a long way toward perfecting it.
Yeah. Now, I read
up to a point.
Sure, I don't think there's any perfecting that swill, but
there are distilleries now that sell it commercially as moonshine.
Right. Which is strange
and it's
to me.
Marketed that way, they come in the equivalent of a mason jar, and there's different flavors, and some of them are really good. I've had some homemade stuff. One, it was called Mama's Apple Pie or something like that. Delicious.
Where was it made? Who gave it to you?
I got it from Brent Best.
So was it made up in the Denton area?
It was some friend of his up there. Yeah.
They say that there are probably 200,000 stills in operation. Now this is off-the-grid stills. This is not like what Danny was saying where you make your own moonshine and you sell it commercially. These are stills. 200,000 stills are still around. And if that number's out there, I think you have to probably add another 100,000. Because if you're assuming there's 200,000, there's got to be another 100 back in the foothills and West Virginia mountain ranges where they don't know what's going on up there.
I guess unless you're selling it, what's the illegality of it? I mean, you can make your own beer. You can make your own wine. You can't make your own grain alcohol for your own consumption.
I don't think so. For whatever reason.
I don't know the rules of this.
Maybe it's the difference between beer and... Yeah, because you can make your own beer.
Sure.
I mean, you sell home brew kits, but I don't think they sell home distilling kits.
Yeah, home grain alcohol
kits. I bet they do.
Is it because the alcohol content, you reach a certain point where...
Probably, yeah. Where
it's not regulated.
It's and dangerous.
Yeah. Because like a thing of moonshine from whoever, that could be... What's a bottle of just normal booze, Danny, the proof?
It just depends. It's like, I guess the standard is about 80 proof, so 40%.
Yeah, so probably some of those are 80%.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them are... Well over 100 proof.
Oh, so you couldn't. That can't be legal.
No,
because at that point.
But then again, you can buy a bottle of Everclear at the liquor store, and that's damn near 100% alcohol.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Boy, part of it, talk about swill.
Part of it appears to be because of lost tax revenue, which I guess you could say is the beer too. But
well, then okay. You're it's illegal to sell it, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, surely you could just set up a distillery in your backyard for your own personal consumption.
They're probably under the assumption, though, that is, if you're making it, you're also selling it. You know? Like, even with weed now, you're allowed to only grow certain amounts of plants in your own house, right? Where it's legal?
Yeah.
Because they want it for home consumption. If you have a giant still... I mean, who knows how much that can produce on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis.
I mean, they've got those TV shows on, like, the Discovery and Travel channels, and I've seen one where the sole theme of the show is cops chasing down Kentucky Hill people and destroying their stills.
Alcohol taxes account for 5% of the country's revenue.
This country likes to drink, Corby.
Good God. So, let me ask you this. Do you guys think that, let's say that everybody comes over on Ellis Island, or through Ellis Island, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Are these Irish and...
Italians
and whatever else that are coming over, are they bringing with them their own homemade alcohol recipes?
Sure.
And that somehow just made its way out through...
I'll bet some of them were, and yeah, it just kind of made its way out into the mainstream.
Wow. That's amazing to me. And I bet you Dallas County, I bet you that, you know, we don't talk a lot about the countryside of Dallas County, whether it's Pleasant Grove or Wilmer Hutchins or places like that are kind of still... off the beaten path and not as regulated as you might think Dallas proper is, I guarantee you there are still stills out there and people making their own booze.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
And selling it to their friends and neighbors and what have you.
You know, maybe not in Pleasant Grove, maybe not like inside the city limits like that, but out in the hinterlands like Wilmer Hutchins
and
some of those places, especially out there on that side of town,
yeah,
and on the southeast and the south side,
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't shock me one bit to find that goes on all the time.
And they also, the still that, look, the still that was, I don't know if you want to say romanticized when I was a kid, but portrayed when I was a kid, they all look so rickety. They look so...
like they could just topple over a slight breeze. Like
all the stuff's propped up with broomsticks and stuff.
They look so half-assed, and I wonder if, like, they've improved. You know how, you know, you can make a little meth lab. Like, at the beginning of Breaking Bad, when they're cooking in the RV, compared to the lab that they eventually had that looked like a science, you know, something that was done at Berkeley or something like that. I wonder if that's kind of made its way, if it's now stills look respectable. They're real tall, awkward, there's smoke coming out of them.
You know, I'm sure it just depends on how big you want to go in on your still, you know?
Didn't Uncle Jesse have a distillery in Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes, he did.
If somebody's really serious about it, then, yeah, you'd go in big and, you know, make it as you know, forward-thinking a still as you possibly could. But others who just want the booze and that's it, they don't care. You know, they're probably okay with it being kind of half-assed.
I wonder also, I mean, I guess that's how all of these giant companies came to be as well. They just started D-ing around with their own still, right? I mean, think about it. Jack Daniels and all that started.
Yeah, that's probably the genesis of it. And probably starts like that.
Why is Kentucky... and West Virginia, why is that the...
Tennessee?
Yeah, why is that the crucible of it all?
Backwoods, man.
It's cheap.
Backwoods.
You're poor. You got to make your own stuff, man.
Yeah.
These people have nothing.
Times were hard back then, Corby.
Man, it's kind of awesome to think about it, that it started hundreds of years ago in the same place, in the same area still, that is where it's all made. Whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, that's it. That's where it's all, the majority of it's all made, right there. That's incredible.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Danny, you had to have run across stills in Knox City.
No, I was never around stills.
They had to have existed.
I'm sure they did. I just wasn't around them.
They're probably pretty far out in the country.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that if you went north would be the most logical direction, north and east from Dallas and Fort Worth. If you go north and you go east, you would not have to go too far at all to find multiple stills,
dude,
in function.
You can go in any direction, I'll bet you.
You go west from Dallas, though, you got Grand Prairie and Arlington and Fort Worth. And,
okay, well, just keep driving.
Well, yeah, I know.
Keep driving.
I know.
You'll get to them eventually.
Yeah.
And they're there in any direction.
Okay.
We'll still talk for you there.
Let's get into this, because this is going to absolutely crush Mike's soul.